Chapter 44. Monday, 12:11 p.m. Lucy woke feeling seasick, the bed bouncing as if riding over waves. Was she on a boat? She hated boats. Why on earth would she be sleeping on a boat? The bed jostled more as a girl's gleeful laughter swam through her consciousness. Megan. Lucy forced her eyes open. The left would only go to a slit, and the right she immediately closed again as bright sunlight stabbed through it. But it had been long enough for her to see Megan perched on the edge of the bed, bouncing eagerly as she and Nick fought abominable icemen. "Ha! Take that!" Megan's voice was strong, brimming with enthusiasm, and the sound of it brought tears to Lucy's eyes. Good tears. Happy tears. "No way are we going to be zombie meat." "Inside voice, please. You're going to wake your mother."
"Nah, she's already awake. She's just resting."
Lucy couldn't stop her smile. She lurched upright, stretching her good arm out in a fair imitation of a mutant zombie, and grabbed Megan. She squeezed Megan, kissing her on the top of her head, and released her, slumping back just as Nick elevated the head of the bed to support her. Ouch! Sitting up that fast had unleashed a headache and several wicked aches and pains. But it was worth it to see Megan's bright smile, such contrast to the scared and worried look she had had last night when they pulled Lucy from the debris.
"Mom, you look like the bride of Frankenstein."
"Guess that makes you Frankenstein's daughter, heh heh." She messed up Megan's hair, standing it on end.
"Mom!"
came the familiar two-syllable whine. Nick cleared his throat. "Why don't you reset the game while I help your mom get cleaned up?"
"I'd love to have a shower."
"You're not allowed," Megan told her in a stern voice.
"They said only sponge baths until your stitches are out."
Nick lowered the bed rail and helped Lucy maneuver her stiff and aching body out of bed.
"That's where I come in,"
he said with a lecherous grin, wagging one eyebrow. He pulled her to her feet. A wave of dizziness washed over her, but Nick held her steady. Before letting her go, he kissed her thoroughly.
"Good morning, Lulu."
"It's afternoon, you know,"
Megan put in. When Nick ignored her and gave Lucy a loud smooch, Megan giggled. That sound, so innocent and free, one that Lucy hadn't heard in months, was enough to erase all her pain. Nick pulled away far enough to guide Lucy into the bathroom, one hand on the small of her back. Lucy propped herself against the countertop while Nick carefully combed no-rinse shampoo through her tangled hair, taking the opportunity to nuzzle her neck. She had some fresh staples in her scalp, thanks to one of the ER docs, a black eye almost swollen shut, a broken collarbone, assorted scrapes and bruises, and a mild concussion to add to her litany of injuries. Which basically meant she was alive and had no right to complain, not with Melissa Yeager lying dead in the county morgue.
"Any word on Ashley?"
"They stopped the sedation. Said she's uncommunicative. Not quite catatonic, but also not responding to much of anything. She tried to cut herself, so they had to restrain her."
Lucy sighed. Ashley had been through so much already.
"It's going to take time."
Nick finished with her hair and began to help her out of her clothing, handing her a towel so she wouldn't get a chill. She loved the gentle way his touch soothed her pain, hands gliding over her skin as he washed her as if she were a newborn. It felt good to have someone she trusted so implicitly that she could relinquish all control to him.
"What's going to happen to her?"
He paused, holding a dripping washcloth over the sink.
"Depends. Right now, she's lost. What her parents started, Fletcher finished. They stripped her of her identity."
"Maybe I should call Taylor. Tell him to hold off."
Lucy was surprised by how easily she grabbed onto any excuse not to face Ashley.
It was as if she couldn't admit that she'd failed the girl, hadn't really saved her after all.
No, I had a long talk with her doctors and father. They agree that it can't hurt and might help.
What did the doctor say about Megan's tests? The way Megan's color and energy had returned, she figured it was just a formality. The doctors had to be right about the cat scratch. But Nick frowned.
Said they had to review them, that the specialist would let us know.
She didn't like the sound of that.
Then I'd better wait here. Let Taylor and Walden handle Ashley. I'll call you if the doctors come. You're only two doors away. Go, take care of Ashley.
She jerked her chin up at the tone of his command.
You were the one accusing me of neglecting Megan. Said I was in denial, thinking that by saving Ashley I could guarantee Megan's safety.
You did save Ashley. And you were here for Megan. Now you need to do this for yourself. Finish it. And, he said with a hint of a smile,
I have a feeling your instincts were right on target. It was a good idea, arranging for Bobby Fagley to come here, meet Ashley in person.
Some instincts. I actually liked Fletcher. Well, in an irritating puppy dog kind of way.
Speaking of puppy dogs.
He guided Lucy's bad arm into the sling. She stared at him, aghast.
You didn't. Megan thought Boots needed company.
Nick, no, look at our schedules. She stopped herself. What was she saying? After the Office of Professional Responsibility finished with her, she'd be lucky getting a job writing parking tickets.
John Grayley came by, he said, reading her mind as always. Said not to wake you.
She grimaced. I'll bet he wasn't too happy.
He was happy. That you're alive. Not so much about the bureaucratic mess. Something about a public commendation and an official reprimand? Sounds like an oxymoron to me. And a warning that you'd better stay under the radar for a good long while.
The concussion must have made her brain fuzzy. Are you saying I still have a job?
Yep. But you have to play nice. Dress up for some fancy ceremony the mayor is hosting, giving you and Burroughs the key to the city. Or shiny pieces of tin, or some such thing.
Lucy started to laugh, cut it short, when pain sliced through her back and chest and shoulder.
Leave it to Grayley. God help us all if he ever decides to go into politics.
There was a knock on the door. Nick opened it. Megan stood there, connected to her IV pole, with its antibiotic hanging in a clear plastic bag. Mom, there's some people here. Lucy glanced in the mirror. No sense scaring Bobby and Ashley with her looks. Nick had done a decent job of cleaning her up. The crisp, white t-shirt hid most of the damage, and the sling took care of the rest. Except for the shiner. Not much she could do about that. Nick wrapped an arm around her waist, and they stepped out together. Megan surprised her by giving her an impetuous bear hug.
"I'm so glad you're all right, Mom."
She bounced on her tiptoes and gave Lucy a quick kiss.
Love you, Lucy Boo.
Lucy squeezed back.
Love you too, Sugar Lou.
Over Megan's head, she saw Taylor and Walden watching them, neither masking the grins on their faces. Beside them was Bobby Fagley, a man wearing a nursing uniform standing behind his wheelchair.
Bobby, she said, regretfully parting from Megan. Thanks for doing this. I know how hard it is.
Nonsense, the nurse said. I've been trying to get him out of that house for months. Do him good to get away from his computer and into the real world instead of a virtual one.
Bobby scrunched up his face, making it obvious that he didn't agree with his nurse's view of the world at large. Lucy could understand why. In Bobby's world, he could remain in control, even play God. escaping his physical handicaps.
I think it would mean a lot to Ashley, meeting you in person.
Taylor said that man, the one who took her, he told her he was me. Won't she...
He paused, wiping his face against the towel that lined his neck support.
Won't she hate me?
You helped save her life. I think once she sees that you really were her friend, liked her for who she was, not the character she pretended to be, it might help her.
Lucy glanced at Nick for confirmation. He nodded his agreement.
You're all she has.
Bobby gave that skewed one-shouldered shrug of his.
All right, then.
Nick stayed with Megan while Lucy and the others moved down the hall to Ashley's room. Bobby stopped outside the door where her doctor waited for them.
So this is the young man?
He said, crouching down so that Bobby didn't have to strain to look up at him.
Nice to meet you. Don't be too scared by what you see. We have her in soft restraints to keep her from hurting herself. And even though the sedation has worn off, she hasn't said much. So don't be surprised if she doesn't want to chat.
Bobby nodded.
Lucy, you're coming too?
She did ask for you,
the doctor told Lucy as he opened the door. Lucy let Bobby go first, telling herself it was to give him room to maneuver his wheelchair, but knowing, in her gut, it was cowardice. Then she took a deep breath and followed. The doctor left the door open and waited with the others in the hall, within hearing distance. Ashley lay still, her dark hair fanned out on the pillow beneath her. She looked like Sleeping Beauty or Snow White, waiting for the prince's kiss.
Except for the fact that her wrists were bound by soft felt restraints, there was an angry row of fresh cuts on the inside of her left forearm, and her eyes stared straight ahead without blinking.
Ashley?
The wheelchair whirled as Bobby steered it beside her bed, facing her.
I'm Bobby.
Draco.
No response. He looked to Lucy, his expression as close to tears as you can get without crying.
I'm here, Ashley. And so is Lucy. She saved you, remember?
Lucy took her cue and approached, standing behind Bobby's chair, in Ashley's line of sight, if she ever cared to look.
We saved you. Bobby was a huge help. He's the real Bobby, not the man who took you. That man lied to you.
Silence.
What else could she say?
How to coax this girl who had been through so much, lost so much, back to a life where she faced more pain?
I bought you something, Bobby said.
He nodded to the bag that hung from the side of his chair. Lucy reached into it and found two of Ashley's drawings, the one of Draco and the one of the ethereal character, Angel.
Your sketches. Of course, now that you see the real me, you'll probably want to redo the one of Draco.
But it sure was nice to think that someone could imagine me that way. A real hero.
As he spoke, Lucy realized that Ashley was watching him, her face slack, but a look of desperation and longing in her eyes. She stroked her arm against the sheets, her left wrist, the wrist with the parallel scars. Her movements were jerky, as if she couldn't stop herself. Lucy reached her hand out and clasped Ashley's. Ashley went still once more, but this time her unblinking stare was on Lucy.
My mother's dead.
Ashley's voice startled Lucy. Somehow she seemed to speak without moving her lips. The words hung between them. Lucy felt her gut clench. She had no idea if she should confirm or deny Melissa's death. She'd always given Megan the truth, even when it hurt, so she decided to do the same with Ashley.
Yes, she is. I'm sorry.
Ashley showed no signs of tears at Melissa's passing.
She said I was dead, too.
Ashley's fingers clawed at Lucy's, gripping her tight.
Please, I don't want to be dead. Not anymore. Don't let me be dead.
A choked sob broke loose from Bobby.
You're not. Ashley, you are the most beautiful, courageous person I've ever known. Please don't talk like that. You're not dead.
For the first time, Ashley's gaze focused on Bobby. She blinked, blinked again, her features crashing in on themselves as tears rolled down her face. Sobs racked her body, not the wild-eyed, feral hysteria that Lucy had seen the night before, but real, honest-to-goodness grief. Lucy undid the Velcro restraint and laced Ashley's hand around Bobby's. Both teens were now openly weeping, sharing their sorrow and pain. Lucy backed away, out of the room, handing the sketches to the doctor.
I don't think she'll be needing these anymore.
He nodded.
Nice job.
Wasn't me. She turned to Taylor and Walden. Everything okay back at the office? Since somehow John Greeley had saved her job for her, she thought she should ask.
We got a lead on a kiddie porn ring based in Erie, Taylor gushed.
Walden clamped his hand on the younger agent's shoulder.
Nothing we can't handle. You get back to your family.
Thanks. I think I will. Might even call off sick tomorrow. Bake some brownies for my daughter's soccer team. Plant some mums. And, God help me, go shopping for a puppy.
She opened the door to Megan's room, stood watching for one brief, bliss-filled moment. Nick and Megan huddled together on the bed, talking earnestly about something. Sunlight streamed in through the window, highlighting the red tints in Nick's hair and Megan's freckles. Suddenly, she understood what Nick had been trying to tell her. That by trying to save the world, she'd been trying to save what was in this room waiting for her. It seemed so careless now, wasting a single second away from her family.
No worries, boss, Walden said, holding the door open for her. The pervs and creeps will still be there when you get back.
I know. She stepped through the doorway. They can wait. Family first.